Scripture reading comes from Psalm 37, verses 23 through 40. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. I have been young, now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. He is ever lending generously, and his children become a blessing. Turn away from evil and do good, so shall you dwell forever. For the Lord loves justice. He will not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the children of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell upon it forever. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his God is in his heart. His steps do not slip. The wicked watches for the righteous and seeks to put him to death. The Lord will not abandon him to his power or let him be condemned when he is brought to trial. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. You will look on when the wicked are cut off. I have seen a wicked, ruthless man spreading himself like a green laurel tree. But he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Though I sought him, he could not be found. Mark the blameless and behold the upright, for there is a future for the man of peace. But transgressors shall be altogether destroyed. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their stronghold in the time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. Amen.
All right. If you're already there, stay there in Psalm chapter 37. And we're going to be reading, as we just read, those verses 23 through 40 this morning. There's a lot going on in the world today, isn't there? When you watch the news and you see this, some of it is hard to believe, and it just shocks you. I was sitting in my office all week, and it was amazing how many non-believers came in talking about what's going on in the world, that you were able to talk about Scripture and talk about the Lord, and it's just such an interesting time in the world right now. During the week, I was thinking of this Psalm chapter 37. And I love verse 27 here because there's such a simple message that we can remember, that we can take with us from day to day. But I think as we look at this psalm, it's going to encourage each and every one of us this morning not only to seek the Lord, but to live for him and to realize that he is on the throne and that he's not forsaking us, that he is still in control regardless of how things look in front of us. And when we see that and we realize we're fighting from victory, not for victory, it puts us in a little different perspective. So let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do just thank you for this day. And Lord, I just thank you for this time where we can just come together, Lord, to read your word. And Lord, just to spend time seeking your message for us. Lord, I thank you for the Sunday school hour. And Lord, I just thank you for this body of believers. And we just lift this church up in the next week as the pastoral search committee has a candidate, Lord. And we just pray that you would give wisdom and guidance and to this body of believers. And pray for this coming weekend, Lord. And just place all that in your hands. Lord, as we just come to your word this morning, we ask that you would help us to see your message. Lord, help us to look at our lives and, Lord, to see in this world, are we truly living for you? Lord, in this equation here in Psalm 37, are we going to find ourselves on the side of the righteous or the side of the wicked? And Lord, we see there's two people that it's talking about here, the saved and the lost. And Lord, my prayer is if there's one here this morning that hasn't accepted you as their personal Lord and Savior, that before they leave this place, they do that this morning, that they can know that they're saved for a Bible reason. And Lord, I just pray that you would work on the hearts of each and everyone here. Lord, for those of us that are believers, Lord, I just pray that you'd place the desire on our hearts to be soul winners and to go out and share your word with the world that's around us. Lord, I just pray that you would help to put people on our hearts to go share the gospel with. Lord, we just take for granted that this country that we live in, that we have freedoms to share your word, and I just pray that you'd place that upon our heart and give us that desire this week. Lord, I ask that you forgive me for my sins and hide me behind your cross and fill me with your spirit, that this be your message and not mine. Lord, that all the words that we say and the songs that we've sang this morning would just bring you glory, honor, and praise. And Lord, we just love you and thank you and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we want to see this morning keys to living a righteous, rewarding life. The first thing we want to talk about this morning is depart from evil. Now, when we look at this, we want to take all of our points from the message out of verse 27 because I think it's a great summary of Psalm chapter 37. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. Now, when we get saved, we ask the Lord to forgive us for our sins. We tell him that we believe in him, we believe in the cross, the resurrection, and that we're asking Jesus Christ in the best way that we know how to come into our heart, to save us from our sins, and to forgive us for our sins. And we know that he's faithful and just to do that. Now, I ask you a question this morning. If you are a born-again believer, you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, why is it that we keep falling back into sin, that we keep struggling in sin, and we keep looking towards it? Let me tell you this morning, don't stay in sin. And I ask you so plainly, why would you stay in sin? What God has for you is so much better than what we could ever hope to find on our own. In Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, it says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Let me tell you, we know that we're all sinners, and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We know that the only way that we can put on this righteousness is accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, having him forgive us for our sins. And then when God the Father is looking at us, he's seeing his Son through us, and he's seeing what Jesus did, and the penalty for that sin is paid. When I was getting ready for this message and I saw that word righteous so many times through here, I remembered a message that I heard from an evangelist, Lawrence Mendez. And he was sharing that in his church, it's a very loud church, he preaches loud and they're a very shouting church. And he said, there's this real quiet man that sat in the back corner. And one of his family members was in the hospital. So he went to go and pray with the family and to be with them. And he said the situation was just not really good. This family member was pretty much on their deathbed and getting close to die. And it was kind of a sudden situation and unexpected and really, really caught them off guard. And he said, this man went and he grabbed the preacher and he said, listen, he said, we need to pray because if we don't pray, this person's going to perish and they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So he said, in the waiting room of that hospital, they had an old box television and it was on wheels and he wheeled it right out in the middle of that waiting room. And he said, preacher, I need you to preach for us right now because we need to get on our knees and pray. And he goes, so all of a sudden I'm sitting there in the waiting room and this man who is one of the quietest men that I'd ever see is asking me to preach to this waiting room. And he said, I had no idea what I was going to preach. And so he said, the only thing that came to mind was James 5:16, confess your faults one to another, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And what he preached on was, are you a righteous man? And he preached on how we're all sinners and we all need to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And he said it was amazing in that hospital waiting room how many people accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. And this man was standing over in the corner telling them he needed them to handle their sin with God because he needed everybody to be right with God because there was a family member in that room that needed prayer that hadn't accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior yet. I ask you this morning, would you be somebody that you can say you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Because when we're talking about the righteous and we're talking about the wicked, the only way that we can have that righteousness is through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I know that if I was to not make it home today and I was to enter into heaven, it wouldn't be by anything that I did, but by my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and his free gift of salvation that I'd be able to stand there. If you back all the way up to verse 16, it says, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. And let me just tell you that the things that the wicked have are not going to last. The things that this world offers you are not going to last. And so many times we put priority. So many times we just want to seek those things, and we see somebody that's not doing the right thing is getting rich, and things just seem to be going their way. But in the end, it's not going to go the way that they are looking. In verse 17, the Bible says, "For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous." You know, sometimes when we're looking at the news and we're seeing the shape that the world's in and we're seeing all the chaos and all the war and everything that's going on, it's hard for us to remember that God is going to uphold the righteous. He's promised us that. He's promised us that in His Word. And when we look at it, we know that God is going to take care of us. It might not be in a way we picture. It might not be in the way that we're seeing things happen, but we know that on the grand scheme of things that God sees the bigger picture, and that it's the wicked that are going to be broken, and that Jesus does want what's best for us. When we surrender our lives to Him, we won't even want control of the wheel. Don't tell God where you're going. Ask Him where you should go and let Him lead, guide, and direct you. If you jump down to verses 18 through 19, it says, "The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied." Let me tell you, the righteous get eternal reward and satisfaction. The righteous know that they're not only avoiding hell, but they're going to get to spend eternity with God. When we get to the end of the message, we're going to start talking about dwelling forevermore. And I love that first song. That first song sang a lot about that. But we're going to see that there's no better place to be than with Jesus Christ. You know, so many people, when they talk about hell, talk about fire and pain and gnashing with teeth. And all of that's true and all of that factual. But the thing that scares me the most about hell is it's a place where Jesus is not. Let me tell you, I don't want to be anywhere that Jesus is not. If He's not there, I don't want you to see Jimmy there. I want to be following the Lord. I want to be close to the Lord. And I want to forevermore be in His presence. You get eternal reward and satisfaction when you're living close to God, because there's truly no better place to be than in His presence. Verses 20, it says, "But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away." Listen, we need to depart from evil, and we need to get as far away as we possibly can from it. What is the sin that we're holding on to in our individual lives? You say, "Preacher, this morning, I don't have sin in my life. I've got it all together." Well, if that's your testimony, I ask you to go home and pray that God would help shine a spotlight in your life and show you what sin it is that you need to take care of. If you're brave enough to do that, I'm telling you, God's going to show you something you can work on. Let me tell you, that's the scariest thing about hopping up in a pulpit or teaching a class or teaching the youth, is the fact that we need to be clean before God. That's why every message that you'll ever hear me preach, I'm asking for forgiveness of my sin. That's why it's the first prayer that I have in the morning. That's why it's the first prayer before any time I share God's word or are a part of a ministry, because we want to get away from evil. We want to depart from evil, to depart from sin, and stay as far away as we possibly can do. You know that illustration I shared with the kids about trying to sneak that cookie at the dinner table? For some reason, we think that we can hide our sin from God. You can't hide your sin from God. God knows what you do when you're here. He knows what you do when you're at work. He knows what you do when you're at home. There is no hiding your sin from God. And let me tell you, the only way that I've found that I've been able to overcome sin is with His help. And going before God and asking for not only forgiveness, but for Him to help me to stay away from it. Because I'm not perfect, and I have faults, and I have failures, but I know that the God of heaven and earth is faithful and just to help us move past that sin. In this world today, it seems like evil is everywhere. people are out of control and hate is just filled and evil is prevailing. But the Bible tells us the evil are going to perish and evil will fall. And even at times that it's hard to see, know that Jesus is on the throne today. You know, I think if you'd go over to the Ukraine and you'd remind them that Jesus is on the throne, sometimes it's hard to see it. You say, well, Jimmy, maybe it's hard to see it, and we're sitting here in the United States where we have all these freedoms. I can tell you this morning, Jesus is on the throne. And while we may not be able to see that big picture, while we may not know what's coming next and know what's in his plan, we have to be faithful to trust him with each and every step. The first thing we see this morning as we look at the scripture is we need to depart from evil. Oh, I love the second thought here, because I think the second thought here we don't spend enough time thinking about. It says, and do good. How simple of a command we find in God's word. And do good. It seems so easy, yet we do less and less of it. Yet we seem to have less and less time to help people. Let me ask you, when's the last time you prayed for your enemy? When's the last time you loved your enemy? When's the last time you were a light to the world that was around you? You know, when I look at my schedule, it's almost all filled up every single day, every single hour, every single time. And you just look and life is in such a rush and we get going down the road. And before you know it, it's going to be 2022. Oh, yeah, that happened already. And we're going to be in the next year. It'll be 2023. And all of a sudden, we realize that we've missed so many chances to share the gospel and to be a light and to just take a time out from our everyday life to help someone who is in need. Let me tell you, there is so many people that are around us in our lives today that are on their way from destruction. And sometimes all we need to do is just be the light. Be the one person to find them, to hand them a Bible tract. Be the one person to stop them in a Wawa or in a grocery store and tell them about Christ. You know, you say, well, Jimmy, they might look at me like I'm funny. They might look at you like you have an answer that they've been looking for their entire life. And let me tell you, if they don't accept what you're given, then they're on their way to destruction. And that's the person that we should be giving every second of our time praying and lifting them up that they'd accept Christ. Look at verse 3. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Trust in the Lord and do good. That sounds like the message this morning. It first starts with accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and turning your life over to him. But then it's followed by us living out our faith and showing the decision that we've made as we help the world that's around us. Oh, verse 4, I love to see verse 4, but I think it's one of the most misquoted and misused verses you ever see. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Let me tell you a bad interpretation of this. Desire thyself in the Lord, and he's going to give you every expensive thing you could possibly want. No. It's not true, right? That's not what it's talking about. Listen to the context. You don't even have to back up a verse to get there. Where is your delight in? If you're doing verse 4 correctly, everybody say it with me. It says, delight yourself in the Lord. If your delight is in the Lord, let me tell you this morning, the desires of your heart are going to be that he is lifted up. The desires of your heart are going to be that people are coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that he is going to be glorified, and that his kingdom is going to go forth. Let me tell you, if we'll delight ourselves in the Lord, the only thing that's really going to matter to us is that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is lifted up. That means if you delight yourself in him, that means if you find everything you're looking for in him, that he is going to bless you and he is going to give you what you want. He is going to give you that relationship with him, and he is going to use you in a mighty way for his kingdom. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Maybe you're in here this morning and you say, Jimmy, it's just, I love the Lord so much and I want to see someone get saved. I want to see someone accept Christ. Let me tell you, don't stop praying for them. Don't stop lifting them up in prayer. Don't stop trying to share the gospel with them. Because if you delight yourself also in the Lord, that we know that God is going to bless you. And we know that God is going to send people in their paths to at least give them the opportunity to accept Him. We need to lift people up in prayer. When our desire is to see God's will be done, He gives us the desires of our heart. Verse 21, it says, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. Man, what a testimony of a righteous person that they are giving people. Do you know how many people have blessed us in our lives because we know that God has used them and they have just been good to myself and to my family? And I pray that we take those opportunities and that we pass them forward and that we share them forward. And you just see how giving the people who truly accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior are. Verse 21, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. The righteous are merciful and giving. And we ought to be good co-workers. We ought to be good friends. We ought to be good citizens because we serve an awesome God and He holds us to a very, very high level. I asked you this morning, how are you in all those aspects of your life? Are you giving? Are you loving and merciful to those that are around us? You know, sometimes when someone does us wrong, all of a sudden we see how not merciful we are. We ought to be the most merciful people that exist in this world after accepting the free gift of salvation because there was a God who loved us right where we were. That enemy who's harming you, who's coming after you, who's seeking to tear you down, are you praying for them? Are you lifting them up? It talks about stewardship in here, of paying what you owe and paying when anything's owed and being even past that, giving to people that are around you. Are you a good steward with what God has for you? In verse 34, it says, wait on the Lord and keep His way, and He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Let me tell you, the first few words in that verse, wait on the Lord and keep His way, are very, very difficult things to do in this world. I've said it before and I'll say it again. In this world, one thing that I've seen change in my lifetime is it used to be someone would say, you can believe what you want, but just don't share it with me. Now the world is saying, hey, you can't believe what you want. If what the Bible says doesn't agree with us, we're going to have a problem with it. Let me tell you this morning, the Bible is not going to change its stance on issues because the world wants the Bible to have a different stance. The Bible is truth, it's been truth, it will be truth, and it's not going anywhere. And sometimes, if you are going to wait on the Lord and keep His way, the wicked are not going to be very fond of you. Okay? So what we need to do, we need to seek the Lord, we need to pray and wait on Him, and we need to make sure that we are all the times in His way. You know, I look and I just see the stance of our nation and I see families that are just falling apart and crumbling. You know, we see certain states that have legalized abortion at the point that the baby's alive on a table. The Bible's clear that life begins at conception in Jeremiah 1, 4 through 5 and Psalm 139, 13 through 16. The Bible's clear that marriage is between a man and a woman and anything else is wrong, Leviticus 18, 22 and Genesis 19, 1 through 11. We could just go on countless issue after issue after issue where the world is coming after the Bible and wanting to say that what the Bible says is not true. But in all of these situations, when you see what the world is chasing and the fact that they're chasing sin, they're running towards destruction. And let me tell you this morning, if you want to throw out God's word and you're running towards destruction, don't come back and blame God when He's not there. You need to focus on keeping God's way. You need to depart from evil. Leave that sin behind. Leave that world behind because God's got something better for you. Next, we need to do good. We need to wait on the Lord, and we need to keep His way. I've been watching just the slide of our world and hearing some things that my grandparents talked about that they saw and they were shocked, and then starting to just look at where the world is going right now. And part of the problem is we start condoning what is happening. I preached in James chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. And if you want to go home and read it, we don't have time to go through that as well this morning on Wednesday night. But it talked a lot about worldliness. You know, go home and think about what you're allowing on that television that you're watching. And all of a sudden, see, are we starting to slide? You know, what is coming in our homes and what we're watching, that content that just sneaks into a show or that thing that they're saying that's not of God, and all of a sudden we're watching it and we're listening to it and we've allowed it into our households. Listen, your choice is either worldliness or God. You can't have it both ways. You don't want to sit on a fence because that's not going to give you the fullest blessing of God. Number one this morning, depart from evil. Number two, do good. And finally, we're going to see dwell forevermore. It says in the end of verse 27, and dwell forevermore. The third point of this message is what I love, and it's really one of the things that I hope that you'll take with you this morning. To dwell forevermore. There's truly no better place to be than in the presence of the one true living God. If you know what I'm talking about, you're a born-again believer because you felt it. And we must look forward to being in His presence each and every day. You know, how many people, don't raise your hands, woke up this morning and were, before you even got here, praying and singing and seeking the Lord before you even got here? Some of us could say yes. Some of us fall into, I know this because I'm a parent, and it is hard to get two girls out the door into church. Sometimes what it turns into is we're trying to get everyone dressed, we're running and we're pushing, and we're getting there as fast as we can to make things happen. Listen, sometimes it's a rush to get here, but we need to look forward and we need to put priority on being in the house of the Lord because there's nowhere better than being in His presence. Now, you don't have to be here to be in the presence of the Lord. That happens when you pray and that happens when you read, but I encourage you to be in the house of the Lord because there's something special about being with brothers and sisters in Christ. There's something special about having your focus there. There's something special the earlier that you can possibly get here just to be able to listen and to be around God's people and to get all the help you can possibly have. About looking forward all week to going to God's house. I remember, I think I shared this with you, but when I was young, that's really all I wanted to do was go to youth group. So one day I was misbehaving, as most people do, and my mom was sitting in there and trying to think what she could take away, and she goes, Jimmy, if you don't straighten up, you can't go to church. And my dad started laughing. He goes, you can't do that, can you? And they were laughing. Why? The best place you can be is in the presence of the Lord, is near the Lord and with His people. We ought to want to be there. I sang a song to Chloe on Monday. She was crying and I was trying to get her to sleep that I remembered singing for Abby. It talks about, I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart, and I will enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for He has made me glad. You're saying, wait a second, the whole world's falling apart. It seems like the whole world's on the brink of war. It seems like everything's out of control and we can be glad in God's presence. Absolutely. We can find joy in the presence of the Lord like we sung about in the first song, but we need to make sure that we're making it a priority in our life and that it doesn't fall to a second place level. Listen, it's important that you make your quiet times with the Lord. It's important that you're reading the Bible. It's important that you're praying. It's important that you're coming to services when the church has services. Why? Because there's no better place for you to be than when you're in the presence of the Lord. I've always looked at it a backwards way too. When you're in God's presence, you're not somewhere that you're close to evil and sin. Did you ever think about it that way? When we serve the Lord and when we're coming close to Him and when we're being in His presence, we're far, far, far away from destruction. We need to make it a priority. We need to make it the number one thing in our life, because if we don't, it'll start falling down that priority list and become non-existent. If you jump back to verse 18, it says, "The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever." Let me tell you, eternal life is a wonderful gift. It's a true gift, and it's a life-changing gift. This world is filled with pain and filled with suffering and filled with sin. And let me tell you, hell is the worst punishment that anybody could ever face. Like we said, it's a place of that pain and suffering. But most importantly, it's a place where God is not, and we don't want to be there. Our inheritance is an eternal inheritance. Do you know for a Bible reason this morning, when you leave those doors, that you are saved? Do you know for a Bible reason that there's nothing that can happen that will pluck you from the Father's hands? Our inheritance is an eternal inheritance. And once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you never have to worry about losing it. You never have to worry about it going away. You will be saved for good. That's not what the wicked can say for themselves. In verses 23 through 25, it says, "For such as blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Let me tell you, God is not going to forsake the righteous. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he is always going to be with you. He is going to uphold you. And even in the battle, you need to look towards him, because he's already given you the victory. Your steps are ordered. When you fall, he's going to pick you up, and he's going to uphold you, and he's going to help you live a life for him. Did you ever think that your steps were ordered? Did you ever think that when you fall and you stumble, it's not you that has to get up, but it's God that lifts you up? David follows up with this in verses 25 through 26, where the Bible tells us, "I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed." Oh, how long the message would be if we just opened up the church and gave a time of testimony of God's blessings on this people right here. We could just go around the room, person after person, and start talking about how God has blessed us, and how God's not going to fail you, and how God's not going to let you go hungry, and just on and on and on of testimony of what the Lord has done for us. Let me tell you, there's no better place than in the presence of the Lord. I tell you that, but I also share this with you, that sometimes when you're in the presence of the Lord, you're going to be going through a hard time. Some of the hardest time of my life, when I have realized that I was in the presence of the Lord and I realized that Jesus was there upholding me, I was as broken as what I could possibly be. But yet, his presence was there. Sometimes when I've heard the hardest news that I heard, sometimes right before I've heard the hardest news that I was going to hear, God's presence was as real with me as it was on the mountaintop. Let me tell you, that's a good friend. Because sometimes friends, all of a sudden when things are going down, just aren't there. That's not how it is with God. You can be in his presence on the mountaintop. You can be in his presence on the valley, but his presence is fulfilling. His presence is one of the best places you'll ever be. And we want to make sure that there's nothing that happens to take us away from that presence. We want to make sure that there's no sin that's separating us. We want to make sure that we've departed from evil, that we've done good, so we can dwell with him forevermore. If you jump to the very end of the chapter, verses 37 through 40, the Bible here says, "Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from wicked and save them because they trust in Him." Notice in verse 38, transgressors are going to be destroyed and the end of the wicked shall be cut off. That's what you face this morning if you face the end of your life without Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You face death, hell, and an eternity separated from God. Let me tell you, that's not the decision you want to make. The decision you want to make is to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because look what it says in verses 37 through 40 again. I'm going to read it one more time. "Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace." We read verse 38, "But the transgressors shall be destroyed together, and the end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord." Jesus paid a great price for a salvation that's free for us. Notice, He is their strength in the time of trouble. When I was a sinner and I had no hope and I faced sin, death, and hell, Jesus loved me right where I was. And when I called upon His name, Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And that word whosoever, you can put your name in there and you can say, "For if Jimmy shall call upon the name of the Lord, he shall be saved." And I can tell you that it happened. I can tell you that He was my strength in the time of trouble, and that the only reason I have that salvation today is because of what Jesus did for me in offering that salvation so freely. But look at verse 40, and this is a great encouragement, and it's something that we're going to end the message with because it'll leave helping us go through the week ready to share this. "And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in Him." I ask you this morning, where is your help coming from and where are you looking for that help? There's a whole world trying to put everything they could possibly put in the place of God to answer a question, and let me tell you, it's not going to work. You can't put money there. You can't put another person there. You can't put all the strength that we know in this world there and fix this problem. The only thing you can do is put the Lord there. Psalm 37 asks us to depart from evil, to turn away from your sins, to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Psalm 37 asks us, would we do good to the world that's around us? Let me tell you, this world around us needs God's children to be on the move, sharing the gospel and helping people come to a saving knowledge of Christ. And then finally we see, will we dwell forevermore in the presence of the Lord? I challenge you to look forward to every time this week that you're going to meet with the Lord. And let me tell you, that's tough because our schedules are busy and there's so many different things that we look at in our lives. How many of you are parents here? Raise your hand. I feel for parents today because my wife will tell you on Monday I was home and I was watching Chloe, and I usually think that I can keep everything together pretty good and keep the kids quiet and keep the kids happy. And we just had a rough day and Chloe was crying and crying. I got through the whole day and it felt like I got nothing done. I had my Bible open. I was going to be ready. I thought I could read. I got through the whole day and I'm like, "Lord, we need to have a rapid fire session here because look how the days got away from me." Sometimes it happens that way. Sometimes maybe it's work. Maybe we got up, we had a lot on our plate at work. Sometimes maybe it's good family things. But we need to make sure every day that we seek time with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to put Him first. We need to lift him up, and we need to look forward to those times that we're in his presence. Because if we do that, then all day and every day, we are going to be in his presence and be in a place that we want to be. I hope you can remember the verse as you leave this place and as you go through the week. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do just thank you for this day. And Lord, I know this is a trying world, and there's a lot of different things that press on us and that pressure us, Lord. But Lord, one thing that we don't want to miss is we don't want to miss seeing you each and every day. Lord, we don't want life to just pass us by and to not be accomplishing great things for you. Lord, there's so much out there in the world that tries to pull us into sin, and we just ask that you help to keep us from evil. Help us to depart from evil ways and just to stay away from that evil. Lord, we do pray that you help us to do good. Lord, that you help the salvation that's already in us to help us to have that desire to share your word with the world that's around us. Lord, this world is on the brink of just tearing open in so many different ways, Lord. Lord, with anger towards one another, Lord, to sin that's just running rampant. And Lord, we ask that you help to just keep us sheltered from that, Lord, that you just keep us protected, Lord, and that you just help us to make the decisions to stay away from that sin. Lord, to reach out and to help those that are struggling with it come to a saving knowledge of you. Oh, and Lord, as we finished the message with that point about dwelling in your presence, I thank you for meeting with us here this morning. Lord, the first step to doing that is accepting you as your Lord and Savior. And I pray if there's one in this place that hasn't done that, that before they leave, they'd either come forward in the invitation or see one of us in the back, that we might be able to share for a Bible reason how they can know that they're saved and be in your presence today. But Lord, I pray for all of us that are believers, Lord, that we not miss a second. Lord, life's busy, and sometimes we're running out the door, and sometimes it's just hard to have that unbroken focus on you, but that's what we ask for. We ask for you to help us, Lord, for you to strengthen us, and we ask that each and every day that we'll find ourselves in your presence. Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.